Bruchim abayim to another week of Parsha Insights. Wonderful to be back in the Heichal. For all of the listeners here in the Heichal, those listening live, and those who will hear the recording when Be'ezus Hashem is sent out, let's use it to be mechazak ourselves, mechazak our Chodesh El, as we approach Yimei Din, Tov Shin Pei Vav, Havo Aleinu L'Toiva. And let's certainly try to repeat it on Shabbos Chodesh to bring about greater Kedusha to our Shabbos. The Shira Selezecha Nishmas Ula Ila Nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca Basarima and Leon Ben Rachel, Be'ezus Hashem, may their Neshama Tehiris have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. We find ourselves, as we did last week, discussing both Parshas HaShavu, after all, is Parsha Insights, and Chodesh Elul. Last week for Elul, we mentioned an acronym that I hope people found to be very powerful. This week I want to discuss a different acronym. It's one actually I had the privilege to speak about last Thursday night in the North Miami Beach Kailo when there was a mishmar. I had the schus of speaking there, and I mentioned this acronym. I'd like to mention it now again. That means you already heard it last week, but I'd like to tie it into both the beginning and the end of the parasha, similar to what we did last week, where we used the acronym of Ahuv Lamala V'Nechmad Lamata, both for the beginning of Shaiftim and the end of Shaiftim. Let's do that with Parshas Kisetse as well. The acronym that I'm referring to, which certainly may be one of the most beautiful and inspiring acronyms of Elul, when a person, and we mentioned part of this in the past, when a person uses the washroom, they, of course, declare that if their body did not function properly, it would be impossible to stand and function in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The word that means could not is the word E. E means I couldn't, we couldn't. What are the next four words? Efshar lehiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. The first letter of those four words, Elul. Elul is the month where you remove the E. You remove the concept of I can't, and all you're left with is, and I see from the facial recognition and reaction, you got it. Elul is the month of Efshar lehiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. I can approach and stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means I can make a significant change and try to improve and become a better person. It is the month where we get rid of the E and we're left with Elul, Efshar lehiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. I must tell you that I've mentioned this acronym countless times. And the Shabbos before passed, when I had the privilege and the schus to be in Gibraltar, I spent Shabbos there. In the afternoon, I had the privilege of giving a shir to part of the community. Somebody shared something with me. I thought it was so brilliant, and I thought, wow, I've said this hundreds of times, and I never thought of that. What comment did I just make? That this is the month to get rid of the E, the concept that we can. Yes, we would like to achieve that the rest of the year, but sometimes the rest of the year, all the other months, there are different things that get in the way, a different hindrance, whatever it might be, challenges. But Elul is misugal. Elul hopefully is very appropriate and apt to go ahead and achieve. Efshar lehiskayim alamo lefanecha. We can do it. We can do it. So the rest of the year it's difficult, but this month we can. The word that we're getting rid of is the word E. E is spelled Aleph Yud, which has the gematria of 11. Maybe that represents the other 11 months. E. Get rid of the E that I can't, because maybe the other 11 months, indeed, there are things that get in the way, although we try, but this is the month, this 12th month of Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoid lefanecha. And so I think that it's so important to believe in this acronym of Elul, and this certainly could be found in the beginning of the parsha, where we speak about the Eishes Yifas Tayah. Last year I mentioned part of this pshat. I want to thank you, Rav Buchstan, because you're the one who brought this Chassam Sofer to my attention. It was actually from a few different pshatim, but it was based on this Chassam Sofer. And I think it's so important, if you remember, we spoke about this last year, that everybody hear the words of the Chassam Sofer, Zechus Yagaleinu. Again, a grace to Yeshiva Chiyu Rav Avram for bringing this to our attention. I think this will help us with the acronym of El. If you take a look at the beginning of the parasha, it says at the end of the first pasuk, "Vishavisa shivyo," that you will capture and take captive his captive. Now that's funny. When you go to war, you take captive a captive. You don't take captive his captive. So maybe it would be more appropriate to say, at least linguistically, I'll be grammar, Vishavisa Shevi, in war, you will take someone captive. What does it mean, pray tell, Vishavisa Shivyo, take captive his captive? What are we referring to over here? That's not what you do in war. We know the Mefarshim explained that the opening words of the Pasuk, which literally means you're going out to war against your enemy, could also be a reference to the perpetual enemy. Who am I referring to? Your Yetzirah, the evil inclination, the one that always tries to get us to commit, to do an Aveira. And it's a constant battle. And here you see, Tzeitze means not that you're waiting for him. You know, other times you find the words kisavo'u, that you wait. You spoke that shot out other times. Sometimes you wait until the enemy approaches. No, not during Elul. Not during Elul. Elul is a time you've got to be proactive. Elul is a time you get up and take the offensive, take the initiative. Kisaytse la milchama. Get up, take the offensive, take the initiative. You go out to war. Don't wait for him to encroach on your territory. And you're going out to fight this milchama aloivecha, and this enemy is your Yetzirah. So how then are we to understand the words v'shavisa shivyo, take captive his captive, in light of the fact that we've just changed the battle from only the physical to the spiritual battle of going out and fighting the Yetzirah? Take captive his captive. How is it the Gemara explains to us that the Yetzirah tries to commit us to get to commit and do an Aveira? If you take a look at the Gemara says, the Yetzirah approaches and tells a person, today you should do kach v'kach, and tomorrow, says the Gemara, the Yetzirah tells us, do kach v'kach, this and this, this and that, today, tomorrow. Why doesn't the Gemara say clearly, it almost seems to be with a certain sense of ambiguity, why doesn't the Gemara say more clearly that, or why doesn't the Yetzirah say more clearly, today, stop keeping Shabbos, Chalila. Tomorrow, stop eating kosher. In other words, why doesn't they say specifically the great and grandiose big things that the Yetzirah tries to do to get us to commit? Why does it say what seems to be so ambiguous, today, kach v'kach, tomorrow, kach v'kach? Why doesn't it say clearly and delineate the big things? Today he tells us this, say what the things are. The Chassam Sofer, Zechusa Yavar Aleinu, says so powerfully, because the Yetzirah knows that if he tries that approach and tactic, if he tries to, and I have to thank you again for bringing this to our attention, because it's such a stellar, incredible shot. If he takes that approach, he knows that most likely he won't be successful. If he says to a Yid, stop keeping Shabbos, only eat treif, in all likelihood, the Yid's not going to listen to something like that. So instead, how does he try to attack us and take us captive? By telling us, kach v'kach, this and that represents, if it would be something small, the minutia, a little bit of a change in a minug, or a little bit of a change or a deviation, and perhaps some type of mitzvah, but not a big thing. That's the way he tries to take us captive. That's the way he tries to take us and make us his prisoner. Kach v'kach, and then kach v'kach. Today a little of this, and tomorrow a little of that. Not the big, because if it was the big, like I said, in all likelihood, we would never fall to that tactic. So instead, it's deliberately with a certain sense of ambiguity to tell us, that his approach is kach v'kach, kach v'kach, this and this and this and this, representing something small, a shinui, a change, watering something down. And that's the way he tries to take us captive. So the Pasuk is teaching us the Shavisa Shivyo. You know, like the expression, like you said last year, you got to know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. The Shavisa Shivyo means we have to take captive his captive. We have to take captive his captive means take his approach and make it your own. Take his approach of kach v'kach, kach v'kach, and you try to win the battle by owning that approach. In other words, we have to have a month of Elul, of Efshar lehiskayim elamo lefanecho. I believe it's possible through the approach of taking captive his captive, knowing your enemy and making it our own. In other words, a little bit and a little bit more. Kach v'kach, kach v'kach. Then Be'ezras Hashem will come to the big and grandiose. Then Be'ezras Hashem will come to a meteoric rise and something stratospheric. But to think that we'll be successful in the drop of a dime by just doing that quantum leap, very often it doesn't happen that way, and we're left disappointed. Take captive his approach, make it your own. Rabbeisai, listen to what I'm saying clearly. Kach v'kach. Kach v'kach. And that's the way Ki Seitzei L'Melchama Aleivecha. When you're going out in Chodesh Elul to start the preemptive strike against the enemy to improve, do it in his approach by taking what he did and owning it, kach v'kach. And that gives us all an opportunity to think, for every one of us, and like I said earlier, those in the Heichal, those listening live, and those who will hear when it's Bez Hashem sent out, the kach v'kach is very different. And might I even say the kach v'kach today may not have been what it was last week. It may not be what it will be in 2 weeks. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. The most important thing to remember is Be'ezras Hashem, the way to be successful in this battle, hear me clearly, is through the approach of kach v'kach, this and that, which represents the small, the incremental, because at the end of the day, of course, it adds up, and it's not so small. One has to constantly reevaluate what is the kach v'kach that needs to be worked on. In the past, we've mentioned an incredible pshat from the Chofetz Chaim. The Pasuk famously tells us, V'atah Yisrael mo Hashem Elkecha shol mi'imach, which of course means, and now, Klal Yisrael, what is it that Hashem asks of you? And then the Pasuk, the Pesukim, go on to list multiple things. And of course, there's always the debate, which of those things is it that's the most important from that list? The Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Levracha, Rabban Shel Yisrael, tells us so beautifully. Of course, every one of the items on that list is critically important. But the most important, the Nekuda Ha'ikaris, the most important Ikar point, is the opening word, the Ata. Ata, of course, with an Ayin, the Ata, and now. What does Hashem want from you now? We always find ourselves in different stations in life. Sometimes a person has more going on and less going on. Sometimes it could be, it's always evolving. Of course, the list that follows is critically important, but the most important thing to knowing what does Hashem want me to do is Ata, now, 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 now. What does Hashem want from you now? The answer to the Ata of 2 weeks ago may not be the answer of Ata today, and it may not be the answer to your Ata a month from now. It has to constantly be reevaluated, constantly be revisited. What is your Ata? I believe it was last year that we mentioned that maybe your Ata with an Aleph, which of course means you, is defined by how you do with your Ata with an Ayin. The true you, the Ata with an Aleph, is best defined with how do you respond to the Ata with an Ayin. And that now is always evolving, but one thing it requires is thought. What is my Ata today? What is today's thing that I need to improve in and do it by the way of Kach V'Kach? That concept from the beginning of the parasha is a wonderful way to fulfill Efshar Lehiskayim V'Lamoy Lefanecha, because we can do it, as we mentioned many times. If you take Elo Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed and spell it backwards, Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, it spells the word Lule. And Lule means if only. When a person lives a life of regrets, if only I would have. Lule, if only. People that speak that way are going through multiple regrets. Why didn't I? And then finish the sentence. Elo is the antithesis of Lule. Elo is the time to realize, Efshar Lehiskayim V'Lamoy Lefanecha, how do I do that? Kach V'Kach, with the small, this and that, the incremental. And that is accomplished by remembering Ata. Now, what is my Avoda that I should be working on now? I also had the chance to mention last week when we spoke in the Mishmah in the North Miami Beach Chaylo, what I view as the next step of the Elul journey. We've mentioned that, and someone told me after, that this is based on the words of Reb Moshe Shapiro, that Elul most famously stands for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, I am to my beloved and Hashem is to me. The word Ani is a very interesting word, because really the word Ani seems to be a conjugation, just like there's the word Bini. Bini means Haben Sheli, my son. But instead of saying it as two words, Haben Sheli, we conjugate it and say Bini, my son. So if Bini is really Haben Sheli, then Ani would seem to be Ha'un Sheli. What is an Un? Aleph Nun. If you take a look in Pirkei Avos, of course, we famously say that one has to know, May I in Basa, from where have you come? Ula'un Ata Hoylech. And where are you headed? What is your direction? That means an Un is a direction. So the word Ani is really Ha'un Sheli. What is my direction? And that's what the month of Elul, everyone has to ask themselves, Ani, Ha'un Sheli, my direction must be L'doidi. What does Hashem want from me? What is my Ata? What is my direction now? Ani must be L'doidi. Ha'un Sheli, my direction must be L'doidi, to serve Hashem. What does Hashem want from me now? And then the Ribbono Shel'Olam responds, when you get that direction correct, Hashem responds, V'doidi li. I am then there for you. And that's the Avod of Chodesh Elul. What is your Ani? What is your Ha'un Sheli? What is your direction? It must always be L'doidi. And that brings us to the end of Parshas Ki Tse, where famously it's what we read, Parsha Zohar, regarding the battle against Amalek. It's interesting that Amalek is spelled Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf, which of course that's the name of the enemy. But Amalek could also be broken up as a word, the first three letters and then the fourth by itself, which would be Omel Kuf. Omel is to be involved and Kuf is 100. What is that a reference to? We know, of course, that the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, there's no comparing someone who's an Eved Hashem to not being an Eved Hashem. What makes you an Eved Hashem? It's the difference between someone who does something 100 times and Me'a Ve'echad 101. And over the years, we've given countless pshatim. What, pray tell, is the difference between 100 and 101? But on the simplest level, the understanding is that 101st time represents that extra effort, that going, shall I say, the kach v'kach, above and beyond. Maybe many people can be part of the world of kuf, 100, but how many could do the mea, the echad? That echad is the world of kach v'kach. That echad is the world of just pushing yourself a bit more. And that, says the Gemara, is the difference between someone who's considered not a servant of Hashem or a true Eved Hashem. The true Eved Hashem is the one who understands not merely Meya, but Meya ve'echad. The echad represents pushing that bit extra, like we said earlier from the Chassam Sofer, the world of kach ve'kach. That's what makes the difference. One is differentiated by, do you have the echad or not? Amalek, our perpetual enemy, how do we read it as a word? Amel Kuf. Amel Kuf means they want us to be involved and remain in the world of Kuf. Kuf is the gematria of 100. Remain in the world of Kuf. Never go beyond to the world of Me'a Ve'echad. Because once you get into that world, you've taken captive his captive. You've entered the world of Atta. You've entered the world of Kach V'Kach. That's the battle. And that's the way to tie in the end of the Parsha with the beginning of the Parsha, the Chodesh Elul, because it's the world of Amel Kuf. They want us to remain in the world of Kuf. Not to push yourself. Just to remain. And not to try to go a bit beyond to the world of Echad. How does one try to counterattack that approach of Amalek? I believe it's found in the next pasuk where it says, Asher Karcha Baderech. And of course, Asher Karcha Baderech means that they chanced, from the word mikra, they happened upon you. But in the past, we've spoken out very beautifully that the word Karcha is also from the word Kar. Kar means cold. Asher Karcha Baderech, this world is a derech, it's a journey. Karcha from the word kol, kar. They want to tell you, calm down, cool down, meaning they want to make things cold. Our essence is one of fire, passion, bren, hislavos, doing things with an esh, rabbeisai, it's such a game changer. Even though sometimes that word is so overused, a game changer, believe me, doing things with an ash, a bread, a passion, a fire, a hislavos is so critically important. That must be our essence. Amalek wants nothing more than asher korcha bader, from the word kor, to make it cold. To remove the fire and beauty and bren and islavos of Yiddishkeit. When it's removed, chalila rachmana litzlan, they can keep somebody in the world of amel kuf. When the esh is there, it becomes the world of mea ve'echad. And when it's the world of mea ve'echad, you take captain his approach. You've made on me your direction, Ledoidi. In fact, on many occasions we spoke out such a beautiful, beautiful gematria. Usually we say it around Purim time, and now we're holding in Yemei El, but it's still one that's worth repeating. It's so magnificent. We, on our highest level, are called Yisrael. Two of the center letters of Yisrael, spelled Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed. Letter number 2 is the Shin, and letter number 4 is the Aleph. Two of those three center letters, the Shin and the Aleph, of course, spells the word Esh, fire, passion, bren, hislavos. At the center of Yisrael, at the center of the Yid, must be that Esh, that burning fire and passion. What happens when you remove the Esh from Yisrael? The numeric value of the word Yisrael, Yud Shin Resh Aleph Lamed, is 541. When you remove the Esh, which is the Aleph and the Shin, you're removing 301. When you remove 301 from 541, you're left with only 240. Amalek, Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf, is Begematria 240. Is that incredible? Yisrael, at our center is Eish. Give it over, Mitabren, the passion, the Hislavos, and excitement. It must be our center. Because when the Yesh is taken out of Yisrael, the Gematria becomes only 240, and 240 is Amalek. And that's what it means, Asher Karach Baderech, to keep it cold without any enthusiasm. That's the world of Maya. We've mentioned many times from Reb Shraga Feivelman, the Lovitz, the Chetadik, the Kalish Levracha, he explained that's why. If you take a look, the Torah is called Eish Das. But that's interesting because in English, you first have the adjective, then the noun, big house, small fish. But in Lashon HaKodesh, you first have the noun and then the adjective, Bayis Gadol, Yelet Katan. So if Torah is called a fiery law, it should be called Das Eish. Why is it called Eish Das? Why is Eish in the slot reserved for the noun? So he explains so beautifully what we've been saying the last few minutes, because you cannot view Eish, the fire, as merely an adjective, as merely something that's accompanied on the side, but rather Torah, Yiddishkeit, is Eish, thus Eish is deliberately and specifically in the slot of the noun. It's so much more than an adjective. It's our essence. It's our mahus. It must be at the center who we are. It's so critical for us, and certainly critically important to pass on the Messiah that way. I hope Ezra Hashem, as we've done another acronym for the name of Chodesh Elul, that we indeed believe it's the month to get rid of the E, and we're left with Efshar Lehiskayim V'Lamoy Lefanecha. Yes, we can! But it has to be with Ani Ha'an Shali. What is my direction? It must always be L'daydi. It's the understanding, like the Chofetz Chaim said, of Atra Yisrael, what is my now? The Kach V'Kach of the Chassam Sofer. And like we said from the end of the Parsha, the importance of being a proper Eved Hashem, which means Me'a V'Echad, not remaining in the world of Omel Kuf. That's the world where the Eish is but gone. Let us be Zaycha this Elul as we continue to approach Yimei Din. Rosh Hashanah Tovshin Peivov Hala Abolena L'Toiva. To merit this idea of Efshar L'Iskayim V'Lamoy L'Fanecha. To find the Kach V'Kach. To infuse it with an Eish, with a Bren, with the Hislavos. Take captive His captive, and may our ani, our direction, always be l'daydi, so that we thereby merit together in unison the daydi li.